Amen. What a blessing to be here. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. I would like to tell you a little bit about what's going on in Bolivia. I had planned on being here this coming Monday, actually tomorrow, but my grandmother passed away, and so I came in a little early to go to her funeral. God really blessed my grandparents. All of my grandparents made it in their 90s, and so I've got great expectations, amen? And if I keep having kids, I need to live till I'm 90, amen? So, anyways, Lord's been good. There in Bolivia, I know y'all knew about, if you read our last prayer letter, I know y'all knew about that we received money while we're here. For the things that we're doing there in Bolivia, building on our camp and then buying a tractor and things like that. And we got a $30,000 for a tractor. And when we got over there and started looking at tractors, mainly we could only get a used tractor for that price of the size that we wanted and everything. So it was a little bit discouraging. The Lord just worked it out where the exchange rate was just incredibly bad for the Bolivians, good for the if you had dollars, and we exchanged money. We were able to buy like a $50,000 tractor, John Deere tractor, four wheel drive, all kinds of things. And then when we bought all the accessories, the brush hog, and all that stuff, and just unbelievable what the Lord did during that time, opening up those doors. And I'm not going to take a lot of time talking about those things, but God has been good. We had our camp and had over 100 teens there, and we were praying that we would get electricity before then. We were able to get a transformer bought and all the electrical work done. And actually, that was it all installed. Turned on, working the day of our camp. And so God's just done some great things. I'd like to talk to you more about it. If you'd like to talk after church, I'll be here tonight and then next week. Plan on being here also. But God has been good. And today is the second anniversary of our second church in Ribaralta. And Michael, my son, is pastor of that church, and so they're celebrating that this morning. I know they had over 200 last night. Just exciting. I love my church. Amen? I love my church. I get to watch you online. And so I see the people that aren't paying attention, and, you know, I try when I'm sitting over there, I try to be thoughtful. Hey, that somebody might be looking at me. But, no, mainly it's focused right here. But every once in a while I get to see some of y'all. But I love my church, and I thank God for my church. I want to talk to you this morning about how to kill a church without trying. You know, I think a lot of people are involved in church, and in reality, they're not trying to hurt their church, trying to damage anything. But a lot of times, just the things that we do out of our ignorance sometimes, and the things that we do affects our church in a negative way. I know my grandmother, my mom's mother, she was one that could grow plants and it didn't matter what kind of plant. She could grow it and it'd just be beautiful. I'm one of those ones that have that gift of killing plants, you know. People say, well, you have to water. And I water and water and water and it dies because I give it too much water. And then, or I don't give it any water. And so, you know, I don't have that gift growing the green thumb, growing plants and things like that. But I think many people hinder their church without really thinking about, you know, I'm a hindrance. I am being negative to the cause of Christ here at East River Baptist Church. And so, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21 says, "Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Let's pray. Lord, I thank you again for today. God, I thank you for my church, and I thank you for what it stands for, and God, the people you've placed here for a reason. And God, I pray that this church would continue to grow and reach this area for Christ, and through their missions that just reach the world. And God, we love you, and I pray that you would help me this morning. Give me clarity of thought, direction, and help me to be a blessing to your people here at East River Baptist Church. We love you, and we'll give you all the praise and honor and glory for anything you do today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. How to kill a church without trying. Well, I believe one way that would hinder your church is the lack of your faithfulness to come, to be a part of it, to be in the services. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, many of you know the verse, "Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." You know, I think missing out on your church, not being here, and how, you know, sometimes we have circumstances, we have things, but sometimes it's because of our lack of desire or our lack of motivation, we don't come. And we're not a part of it. You know, if our job got treated the way our church gets treated sometimes, we probably wouldn't have a job. And so I remember after the reading in the Bible, after the resurrection of Jesus, the disciples got together and they were having a meeting, and Thomas didn't show up. Thomas didn't show up. In John chapter 20, verse 24, says, "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came." When Jesus came. You know, I believe that Jesus shows up every Sunday morning here. Every Sunday night, Wednesday night, every time that these doors are open for service, I believe that God shows up here to give you something from His Word. And, you know, and I think about it, how many times have we missed and you heard someone say, "That was the message you needed to hear. That was the service that you needed to be in." And life-changing things happen even when we're not in church. And, you know, I think that sometimes, I remember I was saved in church. Thank the Lord I was there. Amen. The day that God spoke to my heart, the message that was preached, I was in church that God got a hold of me and showed me my need of salvation. And when God called me to preach at a 23-year-old young man, I remember it was in church that God used His Word. Just like Brother Brian was speaking about this morning, God uses His Word, His man, to speak to our hearts. But every service, something is said that can be applied to our life. Every service, God has something for you. And you know, a lot of times we hear messages preached and we get things out of messages that maybe somebody else didn't get. There's people that's been saved in services and the service didn't have anything to do with salvation, but God knew what that person needed that night, that day. And you know, I hate it that so much of the time your pastor labors in studying and me and your pastor, we enjoy to play golf. I enjoy playing golf, but you know what? There's been many times he said, "Brother, I can't go because I got to study." Thinking of you. There's somebody that needs something that God plans to give me that I can give to you. And then they don't show up. Not faithful to the house of God. How many times do we miss out? Think about your children. Maybe the message that would change the life of your child, you missed out on. The opportunities. The Bible says that Thomas wasn't there, and you know, he had unbelief when they told him what happened. He didn't believe it. He didn't believe that that Jesus showed up. When you're not around to hear the Word of God preached, we miss out. We miss out. It may be just a little bit more growth in our life, a little bit more maturity in our life, or it may be a life-changing thing. Life-changing thing. You know, when God calls a man to teach a Sunday school class, a lady, or calls a man to preach or go to the mission field, it changes many people's lives. Those people you saw up here this morning that represented the leadership in the church that teach and give their time, you know, it's God uses them to speak to us. And a lot of times we take it so not as serious as we ought to take it. We ought to come to church and praise God. That's one thing that excites me about our church. Listening to it online, just hearing y'all sing is a blessing. We had the privilege of having ORH, which is a group that comes with medical teams, or is a medical team that comes to different countries, and we had the privilege of having them in Bolivia, actually for the last 3 years. And some of my friends there in Bolivia have other groups that come, medical teams that come. And one of the missionaries that came to help us translate with this group, he said, "You know what? There's something different about this group." And I said, what do you think? Is it the way that they run their organization? Something different about this group. And I said, what do you see different? He named off a lot of things, he said, but one of the things that I see the most is the oneness of spirit. And these are doctors that come from all over the place, and they're not always going. You know, these people live in different places all over the United States, come together. But to do one work on the mission field, and their goal is to see people saved. But we would sing, and just the presence of the Lord was there. And I see that in East River Baptist Church. You can go to some churches and not have that spiritual aspect. Another thing is that I think that can hinder a church from its growth is not participating in the programs that the church provides. You know, I think the number one program at East River Baptist Church is, if you want to call it a program, is missions. We're getting close to the missions conference, and you know, there's some people that won't be here. There's some people that you know, it just seems like every year that's their vacation time or they're busy, something happens, and you know, it's not participating. You know, I'm going to give to missions, but I just can't be there for the conference, you know, and it's being here makes a difference. Being here makes a difference. Changes lives. You know, I know going to the mission field gives you a different perspective of the mission field. Gives you a deeper burden to give to missions I think just being at the missions conference gives you that deeper burden when you begin to see the pictures of different countries and how that God has just done miracles in other countries of building churches and that you have had a part in it. It encourages you. It encourages you. I think we ought to participate in the things that are going on at East River Baptist Church. Visitation, you know that? I don't know I think y'all are pretty good about inviting people. Amen? Not everybody can be here maybe at a set time and many of you live long ways and different things like that. I understand that, but we all ought to be involved in visiting, getting the gospel out. I was with your pastor the other day and we were busy doing something and we had talked to somebody and then later he was going to go back and give them a track and they weren't there. And he said, "Lord, forgive me. Forgive me." You know why? Because the Lord put it on his heart. Sometimes we get busy. My pastor in Bible college, he said, "You know who hands out tracts? People that carry them." You're not going to invite any. You're not going to hand out a tract or an invitation if you don't carry them. This church sprints them for a reason. That we hand them out. Be part of. Be excited about your church. Special meetings. You know the special meetings that East River Baptist has here, the revival each year, the missions come, different things that we have each year. Those meetings are for you. They're not just to have somebody come and sing and preach and everything about them are for you. For you. We're not just wanting to give a big love offering to somebody and it costs to put on those meetings. It costs. But the whole purpose is that you grow spiritually during those times. But some people miss out on those things. And I want to encourage you to be a part of those things. Get invested in your church. Amen. Invested in your church. Ask the question, if everybody does like me, how will my church be? You know, if everybody keeps the church clean like you do, how clean will the church be? I try to teach the people there in Bolivia that. And it's just normal for the people in Bolivia to throw everything on the ground. And before services, our buses get there, kids will go buy some stuff at a little store down the street, and they'll come, and they just throw their trash everywhere, and then a few people are left to clean it up every week. But we ought to take pride in this place. Starting on time. You know, if I step on your toes, Lord knows. I escaped a little early out of the end of the service there, and I went in the back and man, I thought half the church was in the foyer back there. You know, I have, in our church in Bolivia, we have a group that will not show up for Sunday school. They're good people. I love them. I want them to come. But I don't understand why they can't get up in time to be there for Sunday school. I needed what was taught this morning. Everything that was said was not something that I haven't heard in the past. But God used Sunday school to help me. Used it in a great way, starting on time. You know, if everybody was like you, you know, if Pastor Hoots came to church like you, he'd probably get fired. What about being friendly? Sometimes if you get here and you're just rushing in, you don't have time to be friendly to anybody. We ought to come with excitement. Be ready to tell others, glad to see you today. You know, if everybody was like you, would the church be in great need of Sunday school teachers and workers? How would the finances be in the church if everybody was like you? You know the Bible says in Malachi 3:10, it says, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Brother, that verse has helped me over the years. And you know, for years and years and years, I've been faithful to tithe, give to missions, and I believe in the last couple years, God has opened up the windows of heaven and began to pour out the blessings on my life, on my ministry. And I teach there in Bolivia strongly to very poor people, give. Give. To people, if they don't work that day, they're probably not going to eat that evening. Give. Pastor, why would you do that? Because it's a promise of God. I've learned that when you take promises of God and apply them to your life, God will bless you. God will bless you. And God will bless His church for people that are faithful. Faithfulness is 52 weeks out of the year. It's not the week of vacation, you know. This one's going to go to vacation. No, being faithful. God blesses it. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, it says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. That was Paul talking And you know, I believe it's talking about more of a offering, like a missions offering and those things. But you know, that is, giving is personal. Giving is it ought to be regular. It ought to be something that we do on a consistent basis. But that is how this church reaches the world. When you give your tithes and your offerings, that meets the needs here at this area. When you give to missions, it begins to reach the uttermost parts of the earth. How can we reach the whole world? By doing our part. You know, the problem is, the reason why East River can't do their part is because some people choose not to do their part. Be generous. God blesses it. This church is very generous. Very generous. I think of, look at the parking lot. Look at the building. No debt. God's blessed this church. Being faithful to give. But you know what? There's some, there's some people, and I see this in other churches, and I'm just speaking, I'm not here all the time, but there's bound to be some people that say, hey, you know, we support missionaries in this area, and in reality, they don't give anything. They're proud of their church. But in reality, they're not receiving any of the blessing in giving. Another way to hinder your church is not to love the brethren. It's one thing I like about East River Baptist Church. And I know there's some probably, because I'm not here all the time, so that's like your kids. People tell you how good your kids are, and you think, you don't live with them. You're thankful to hear that, but you don't know all the problems. And so, I'll tell you, we've got a good church. Pastor will tell me, you don't know all the problems. I remember in Bible college, a man, he was an officer in the church, a leader in the church, and he was in the military, and the next year came around and they wanted him to be it again, and he said, you know, this year I don't think I'm gonna do it, and I asked him later, I said, why didn't you want to be a leader in the church? He said, you know what? I like a good hamburger. He said, but I don't like to see it, the meat ground up. I don't like to see it made. He said, and what he was saying, there's problems. There's problems. He said, man, I thought this church was perfect before I became a leader. And begin to find out, hey, we're just like everybody else. We've got a lot of problems. We ought to love one another. Love one another. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I am so unworthy to be forgiven. How can we not forgive others? God has been good to us. Galatians 5:13 says, For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love, service, or serve one another. We ought to look for areas to serve other people. I have a man in our church there in Bolivia. His name is Brother Adimar. Adimar. And him, his wife, his two girls, it's obvious that the parents have taught the kids to serve. They love to serve. Always looking for ways to help in the church, to do. And I mean, church is wrapped up and they're over there sweeping after the service. Have a servant's heart. So many times we get in a groove. We come, we listen, we're gone. When maybe somebody just needs to hear your voice. Maybe somebody just needs to be encouraged. You know, here, and I've told you, showed you before, I've had this in my wallet for 30 years. 30 years, a man came up to me I was 20 years old in Roswell, New Mexico. Just put his arm around me. Told me he loved me. Gave me some verses that changed my life. That scripture that changed my life. When you love the brethren, you'll be obedient to what God has asked you to do. Speak to this young person. Tell this person, be obedient. You know, another thing that can hinder a church is to abandon your standards. You know, we are an independent Baptist church. Amen? That's not a bad word. Some people say, are y'all a Baptist church? What kind of Baptist church? And you... They're slow to tell them. We're independent, fundamental, you know. Afraid you might run them away or something. I remember when I was 20 years old, I was grown up in church all my life, and 20 years old working in Roswell, New Mexico, the pastor of the church there that I was attending. I wasn't serving the Lord, but I just always in church. And I remember him taking me back to my hotel one night, and he was asking, he's just probing and finding out about me, and he asked me, he said about if I attended a church. I said, yeah, my dad's a pastor of a church in Houston. And he said, is it Independent Baptist, Southern Baptist? I said, I don't know, we're just Baptist. I didn't know. My dad didn't preach that it's a sin to be this type Baptist or I didn't know. 20 years old, we were Baptist. But know what you believe. And don't change it. This world's wanting us to change what we believe. We're not Pentecostal, we're not Assembly of God, Mormon, Jehovah's Witness. Know what you believe. And stand on it. You know, one day, our pastor will not be pastor of this church anymore. And I hope that we're strong enough to be who we are, to continue to sing like we sing, to have the spirit that we have, stay with the same Bible, be modest in our dress. Another thing that will hinder to your church is not following the leadership. Not following the leadership. Bible says in Hebrews 13:17, obey them that have rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. You know, God has placed our pastor in our life to have veto power in our life. Amen? And, you know, I think about it, I don't understand when people join a church but they don't want to submit to the authority of the church. I mean, if you don't like the leadership of the church, it might not be good that you join this church. Go find one that you can submit under and be a part of and help. You know, I don't fret over the decisions that are made in this church. I don't have any part in it. If I was here when there's a vote, I'm a member, I can vote. But I don't fret over the things that happen here. I give my tithe, I give my missions, and I don't worry about what happens with it because I trust these men. Trying to teach our people there in Bolivia that It's our obedience that God wants, our faithfulness. And God judges the men that lead the church, the pastor, the overseer, if something goes wrong. The same thing in a home. The man is the example, the leader. And if he leads the family wrong, then he's the one that will be judged for that. I have all confidence in our leaders of our church, and I thank God for the men that He's given us. And you know what a blessing it is to just know that God has given us good men in our church. There's a lot of churches that doesn't have that liberty to just trust in the men. That's a great responsibility. But it's nice for me. I don't have to worry about it. Amen. My part is to pray for those men. Then lastly, you know, there's a lot of people that just want to come to church and never identify with the church. Never be a part of the church. And I think that hinders your spiritual growth when you don't want to put yourself and become a member of a church and it also hinders the church because we're a body and when you are to be somewhere and you choose not to be, it hinders. Not everybody is for East River Baptist Church. Not everybody is going to feel at home at East River Baptist Church. And that's okay. That's okay. But whenever you are to be somewhere and you're not, it's hindering you, your family, and the church. There's a few things that has to take place. You must be saved. The Bible says in Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has risen from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Our church in Bolivia, I would say 96% of the people in our church are people we won to the Lord. And we've, you know, at their home, on the street, or in our church. I don't want to fill our church with a bunch of people that, especially because we don't have any other Baptist churches around us. We're it. If you want to be Baptist, you got to come to our church. So I don't want to fill our church with a whole bunch of people that aren't Baptist. And so we focus on reaching people. And to be a part of this church, you must be saved. Amen. You must have a scripturally baptized. There's a lot of people, if you talk in Bolivia, there's a lot of people that say, well, Pastor, I've been baptized. They really don't understand. Now, you know, I don't remember it, Pastor. I was a baby. There's a biblical way. Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, it says, then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. You know, there's some in our church in Bolivia that are faithful to come, but they can't be a member of our church because of their testimony. They can. One thing that I found out that there where we live is you almost want to ask, can you show me your marriage license? I have not done that. If they tell me, I investigate a little bit, but not many get married, but they all have families. They come to the church, you're like, praise the Lord, look at this good-looking family. Well, they ain't married. But you know what? We have a lot of people. I think in the last 3 years, we've done over 8 weddings. Why? Because people want to be a part. And what I'm saying is maybe you lack some things before you can become a member of this church. Why not put things in order? Why not decide, that's what I want to be. That's what I want to be a part of. And change some things. And instead of wanting the church to change to be like you. There's churches out there. You can find one that's like you. But you can't find a whole lot like this one. Are you helping or hurting your church this morning? I'll finish with this. I've told this story in probably in the last missions conference about medical trips. I was working in the pharmacy. Not a good thing. I give baby aspirin for a guy who just had surgery. No. No. But anyways, I remember I was eating my lunch one day and I dropped a chip and I just left it on the ground. I just kept on eating my lunch. We were outside and doing the pharmacy and everything. And a few minutes later, that chip was moving. A bunch of ants had come around and picked it up and they're carrying it somewhere else. And it was a good sized chip. It took a lot of work to carry that thing. And I thought, wow, you know, if we could have a church that worked together like these guys, we'd get a lot done. Then I looked closer at it, and you know what? There was a group of them that were on top of the chip. And I thought, you know, that's like a lot of churches. There's some people that are in. They're committed. They're working. They're busy. And then there's some along for the ride. Get in. Get in. Let's stand. Lord, I thank you for this morning. God, I thank you for this great church. Lord, I pray that you would just continue to use East River to reach this area and the world. God, I pray if you've spoken to the hearts of someone this morning, maybe there's someone here that needs to put some things in order before they could become a part of this church. God, I pray that you would guide them, give them wisdom. Maybe it's through the Word of God, the leadership, and that you would open up their eyes to some things that need to change. Or God, maybe someone's here and is not saved, not put things in order, and God, I pray that you would just use your message to speak to our hearts this morning. Allow us to be proud of our church that you've given us. Be a part of our church. Be involved in our church. We'll give you all the honor and glory for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With your heads bowed, your eyes closed. If God's spoken to your heart this morning, the altar's open.